You're seated. Well, our text tonight will come from the Old Testament, from Psalm 55. From Psalm 55, this is on page 603 in your pew Bibles. The Psalms, they truly were. They were given to you and to me, not only to read and to study, they were given to us to sing. This is Israel's hymn book, and as such, it became the church's hymn book as well. The wonderful thing about singing the Psalms is that when you sing these words, you know that you are singing words that were given by inspiration of God. That's the truly ennobling, enriching thing about singing these words. You are singing the very words of God. And you're also singing words that would have been king-led. The king or the leader of Israel, he would have not only been a political ruler, he would have been a song leader. Moses, after the crossing of the Red Sea, what does he do? He leads the people in song. King David has this fairly massive hymn-writing workshop described in detail in 1 Chronicles chapter 25. He was the appointed director of the writing of hymns for the church. And then he had people under him, and then he had writers who were under them, and they would compose these songs. And David himself would lead the assembly in song. When you sing the Psalms, you are not only singing words that are given by inspiration of God, you're also singing with the king. Jesus quotes Psalm 22. Psalm 22, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And that's what Jesus does. When you sing these, you're singing in union with Christ, with our Lord Jesus. This particular psalm that we'll read tonight, it's like many of the psalms, it is spoken and sung from a place of confusion, pain, suffering. What are suffering believers to sing? These particular words will speak of betrayal. They will speak of anguish, of burdens. And I want you to notice where David turns. Now, what does David do with the burdens that are pressuring him down to the dust? Where does he turn? This is to the choir master with stringed instruments, a Maskell of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. Destroy, O Lord. Divide their tongues. For I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in its midst. And oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. For it is not an enemy who taunts me. Then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me. Then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. And within God's house, we walked in the throng. Let death steal over them. Let them go down to Sheol alive. For evil is in their dwelling place and in their heart. But I called God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. God will give ear and humble them, he who is enthroned from of old. Because they do not change and do not fear God. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. His speech was smooth as butter, yet war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil. And yet, they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. By the end of this evening, I want you to be assured that he hears your voice. That when you cry, that when you plead, that when you utter your complaint and you moan, that your voice is heard, and that he hears. He hears your voice, and that your prayers do not simply bounce from the ceiling. These words could have been written by David as he meditated on his betrayal by Ahithophel. It could have been written as he thought about his dealings with Saul. The words, especially from 12 through 14, speaking of a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend, that we used to take sweet counsel together. This is obviously a companion, a friend with whom he would have shared thoughts of his inner soul, and they would have enjoyed going to the means of grace, to the public gathered worship together. Could be Ahithophel, could be Saul. It also fits and looks ahead to the words of Jesus as he would meditate on his friendship with Judas. Would have gone to the house of God in throng together. Now, where does David turn when he feels the lash of a betrayal, when he feels the vacuum of that sweet counsel, when he feels the pit, the massive hole? What does he do? Look at verses 1 and 2. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan. Look at verses 16 and 17. He says, but I call to God and the Lord will save me. Notice his language here is very, it is expectant language. He is stirring himself to his duty. He knows his soul is teetering on the brink. He is facing the blade of persecution. Perhaps Saul is in pursuit. But I call to God and the Lord will save me. There is an assurance here. When he pleads, when he prays, there's a confidence. He stirs himself to his duty with an absolute confidence. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He turns to the Lord in prayer. He turns where his descendant would turn. Our Lord Jesus rising a great while before day. And where does he go? He goes out and he seeks his Father. Jesus, what does he do the evening before? The 12 are selected. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 12. What does he do? He spends all night seeking the Lord. He prays. He would pray at all hours. What does our Lord Jesus do? What was he like? Who was he? So kids, what was Jesus like? Jesus was nothing if not a man of prayer. Just as you hear your mom and your daddy pray, well, Jesus also was a man of prayer. I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Now, this would become the practice of the apostles. What did the apostles do? What was one of the pillars of their discipleship, their life together, their life individually, their life in their household, and their life as a church? What did they do? They were men and women who would pray. They would seek the Lord. The Lord Jesus exhorted them, giving them the charge. You wait in Jerusalem. You await the coming of the Spirit from on high. You already possess the Spirit, or you would not believe and embrace the truth. But you await the fullness, the full coming, the full power, the full flood of the Spirit. You await. And what are they doing? They're in Acts chapter 2. They are there waiting for the promise of God. They are awaiting. They are seeking. They are praying. You know, the book of Acts, it is one record after another of the people of God. And what do? Well, they pray. They gather together with one heart and with one mouth and one voice. They cry out to God. Well, the apostles had learned from their master. The disciple is not above his master. At the very core of the Christian life, what do? We are men and women of prayer. He hears my voice. And I want you to hear two things about this statement, that he hears my voice. He hears my voice when I call. I want you to notice the language that he uses here. He hears my voice when I call. Now notice the words. Look at verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan. Now, this word, it's used for complaint. It's a flexible word. It can be used for a lot of different things. I utter my complaint. I pour out my sufferings. I utter from the depths of my being the pain. I utter my complaint. It can also be used to refer to meditation on his word. Meditating on his statutes. I utter my meditation. I utter my deep pondering thoughts upon what he has said. It's used in Psalm 119 over and over again. I will meditate on your statutes. I'll tell you something. It's also used to describe telling of his works in Psalm 105. Psalm 105 verse 2. I will tell of his wondrous works. Well, this works. This makes sense. What is prayer? Well, it is hearing what he has said. Prayer is meditating, pondering deeply what he has spoken. And then it is responding with your affections, responding even with your voice. You're voicing, you're declaring, you're speaking what he has said. Y'all, what is prayer? It is taking what he has said, meditating on the truth, and then pouring out that truth from your soul. I utter my complaint and I moan. And you pour out your soul, you ponder his truth, you declare, you voice, you pray his truth right back to him from where you are. And if you are in the midst of the gauntlet, then that is precisely where you pray. You don't wait until you're through with the crucible before you utter your complaint. You pray, you meditate, and you respond from exactly where you are. And what is prayer? You're receiving his truth, meditating on what he has said, and you respond with petitions, with confessions, with intercessions, with thanksgiving. In other words, another way to say all this, your prayers begin to sound like the Bible. And your prayers are utterly honest and raw. I utter my complaint. And when I do so with scriptural language and vocabulary. He answers. He hears my voice when I call. Verse 17, I utter my complaint. And you see the second verb that's used. I utter my complaint and moan. David is not simply saying his prayers. He is moaning. He is crying out from the depths of where he is. There is raw truth and emotion in his petitions. And he's laying it all out before the Lord. I utter my complaint and moan. This word for moan, it's also used for the roaring of waves in Psalm 46. Your soul is in turmoil. It is in upheaval. Prayer is not simply repeating words and phrases. It is the moaning of the soul. You are in turmoil, and you and your affections and your thoughts, they are being lifted up as the waves of the sea. It's also used to describe longing and desire. A moaning desire for another. The bride, when the bridegroom's hand is upon the latch of the door, she hears, and her soul, it says, is moved within her. Same word here. Her soul is moved or moans within her. She responds. She is longing. She has a deep desire for her beloved. Well, what is prayer? It is the moaning of the soul. The way the Apostle Paul describes it, you and I do not know what to pray for as we ought. Romans 8, verse 26. And so what do we have? We have the Holy Spirit who makes intercession for us with groans that are too deep for words. What do you do with those pressures, with those weights, with those burdens? Look at verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord. What do you do with your burdens? You cast them. You go to the only place where they can be sufficiently dealt with. What does the Apostle Paul say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You go to Him with your anxieties, with your pains of soul. And the Apostle Peter would lift verse 22 in his own preaching. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Cast all your anxieties upon Him, for He cares for you. He hears when I cry. He hears the raw emotion and moaning of my soul. He hears my voice. The Psalms are emotionally honest in a way that few hymns and songs that we write ever dare to be. He hears when I call, and He hears at stated times. There are stated times that He calls out unto the Lord. Look at verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon. So in the temple they would have appointed sacrifices morning and evening. And that morning and evening sacrifice would set the pattern for the household and even for your individual piety. You would pattern your spiritual life after the public means of grace. You would seek Him in the morning. You would seek Him in the evening. That statement that we recite from Psalm 92 at the beginning of a worship service. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praise to your name, O Most High, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning, your faithfulness by night. Well, that morning and evening rhythm, that was the pattern of Israel. That was the pattern of the synagogue that became the pattern of the church in the early centuries. That was the pattern of our ancestors in the faith. There was a regular pattern. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan. And so there were stated times. you and I are prone to slacken our pace. We are prone to omission if things are not prescribed. If it's not in the planner, it doesn't exist and it won't happen. How many times have you had that thought? If it's not in the planner, if it's not in my calendar, it doesn't exist and it's not going to happen. Whether it is at an appointed rhythm of the day or a specific hour and minute, y'all, we have to be honest. We need those prescribed times of when we're going to seek the Lord. When are you going to do it? When will it happen? This is a pillar of the Christian life. This is your universal medicine. This is your anchor. This is your lifeline, pumping fresh blood into your soul. When will it happen? So whether you set the task of seeking Him, crying out to Him, moaning before Him, whether you set it as a specific rhythm, say it happens right after you awake in the morning, or right after this or that task, or you set it as a particular time and your alarm goes off, be it 6:30, 5 a.m., whenever it might be, whatever works. Our souls, our minds, our affections are so prone to omission. You and I need those prescribed set times. And it's a little hint that we see here in the Scriptures. There are these regular times, the seeking of Him, evening and morning and at noon. I utter my complaint and moan, and He hears my voice. Well, He hears you. He hears you when you call at those stated times. And He redeems your soul, verse 18, in safety from the battle that you wage. Many are arrayed against you. You are in a spiritual battle and everything is on the line. Everything is at stake. And you go to your lifeline. You go to the well. You go to the source. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Verse 1. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan. Well, in union with our Savior and reliance upon His great name, would you seek Him with me? Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord and our everlasting Father, Lord, you are the one who saves, you are the one who sanctifies, who purifies, you are the one who teaches us to pray. You open our mouths that we might declare your praise. We ask that on this night, O God, that you would draw us into deeper fellowship with your Son. And, O Lord, before our head hits the pillow this evening, that we would rejoice in our union and communion with Christ, who is our all and who is our life and our portion. And so we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn would be hymn number 628, Come My Soul, Thy Soup Prepare. I don't think I have ever done